Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say.
Good morning. Welcome to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. So when I was growing up, this is going to give away a little bit of your sense of how old I am, but I remember there being basically three channels, four, actually, if you included PBS, which we tended to watch a fair amount, but basically there was CBS, ABC, and NBC. And you actually, at least early on in my life, had to get up and walk across the room to change the channel. But that was it. That was all you had. There were rabbit ears on top of the TV. And I know that now, as I'm saying that, if you've got little people in the car, they have no idea what I'm talking about. So this gives you an opportunity to have all kinds of conversations with the pace and change of technology and how content is now delivered, not only into your home via your television, but into your hands via all kinds of what we call smart, but they're not necessarily wise devices. So I want to talk about the wisdom needed in relationship to media consumption today. Our friends at Plugged In have for a long period of time been helping us make those choices as parents and other folks who are concerned about video, in particular video consumption, television programming, movies. But the reality is, even they can't keep up with everything that's now being produced, because what's being produced is by an unlimited number of people posting their own content. And so we as consumers have to now become wise. We can't just rely on others to tell us what is good and beautiful and edifying. We now have to be able to not only make those choices for ourselves, but equip and empower young people to do the same. We just bought a new television, and the I call it the clicker that came with it has buttons for YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Pluto, Sling, Tubi, Vudu, Crackle, and Roku. I just want to watch my TV, but that's really not where the future of video consumption is going. And video content is ubiquitous. And so we want to talk again today with Adam Holtz from Plugged In. He is going to help us understand what is out there right now. And he's also going to talk a little bit with me, he doesn't know this yet, about how we train ourselves to guide our kids in making wise choices. So that's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Is some recognizable fun walk-up music for our guest Adam Holtz from Plugged In. Plugged In is a Focus on the Family publication designed to shine a light on the world of popular entertainment, also providing families with the essential tools they need to understand, navigate, and impact the culture in which we live. And Adam, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
I am glad to be on with you this morning, Carmen.
So I'm thrilled that you're here. I want to talk about the big screen. I want to talk about the small screen. And then I want to talk about how we actually, as parents, can become equipped ourselves in order to help our children make wise decisions. Does that sound like a good agenda for our conversation?
I mean, how long do we have? 2-3 hours? Are we going to talk all morning?
I love it. And let's just let's remind folks that they can check out what you guys are doing at PluggedIn.FocusOnTheFamily.com. So let's start. Oh yeah. All right. Let's start with the big screen. What is what's on the big screen that we ought to be paying attention to?
Well, the only thing this weekend that we really need to pay attention to is the Lego Movie 2, the second one. And for anybody who has seen the first one, which came out 5 years ago, unbelievably, this one really, I think, is in the same ballpark. It's of a piece, if I can say that, with what we saw in the first one. And the characters we saw there are all back. This time around, the shiny, sparkling city of Bricksburg has pretty much been obliterated and abolished by space aliens, and it's now Apocalypseburg. And everybody is gritty and grimy and kind of depressed and kind of resigned to this horrible, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of existence. But our friend Emmett is still just as bright and shiny and optimistic as ever. Well, all his friends get kidnapped by aliens, and he has to go rescue them. And Emmett's sort of dramatic curve here, if you will, is does he have to compromise that optimism and that hope that is a part of his character to accomplish that purpose? And so it's a pretty interesting character arc. I really like what they did with the story. It's not going to feel, I think, as absolutely as fresh as the first one, because, you know, first movies are hard to live up to. But I really loved what they did with this story, just in terms of, you know, does growing up and dealing with disappointment and hurt mean that we have to compromise our character? And I think those are great questions that parents can kick around with kids afterwards. A couple small content caveats, I mean, really small, and even these are almost in the joke category. You know, Batman has a penchant for ripping off his shirt and bragging about his abs. We hear one reference to the Hindu greeting, Namaste. But really, once you get past those, there's not much here that parents need to be too concerned about. And I think it's the kind of movie that could provide a springboard to some really great conversation with your kids.
I love that. All right, so we're going to talk about character and the importance of it. And we're going to also talk about how do we stand for the things that we know are right, even when those around us in the culture are following other ideas, promoting other ideas, and going on another direction. That's my sense of what you're helping us do here.
Yeah, no, I think you could definitely go there. It's not a super deep movie, but I think that those themes are definitely there. And, you know, as you were talking about, how do we begin to really train our children to think in these terms? I think that it's important to talk about behavioral things in a movie, you know, why something we may see in a movie or a TV show or hear in a song or in a video game even, why is this problematic? Not just, oh, that's bad, we don't watch that. But the kids need to know the why behind that. And so as we watch movies and promote a conversation, not only are we building a relationship, but we're modeling active engagement with entertainment, with the choices we make. We make a deliberate, discerning decision, and afterwards we talk about things, as opposed to just being mindless, droning, passive consumers, which is what everybody pushing this content wants us to be. They just want us to consume more and more and more and not think about it. But as parents, we have to really model what does it look like to engage wisely and then to talk about the ideas that we're seeing in these things, because that is where I think our children begin to develop critical thinking and a biblical worldview.
So, Adam, it occurs to me that, you know, over time we've gone from, you know, going to watch a movie together to having lots of televisions in the house in multiple rooms where people go and make their own choices about what they watch, to now literally people, you know, sitting around the same table, each watching and consuming their own media on a small screen that's literally in their hand, and nobody else can even see what they're watching, let alone engage in consuming that together. Give parents who are listening and grandparents some encouraging counsel about actually watching things together and then talking about them.
Well, I think, like you said, it's becoming increasingly countercultural to do that, and so it's going to start with the boundaries and behaviors that parents set. And even though we can lament, well, kids are on screens too much these days, a lot of times kids are on screens too much because parents are on screens too much. And frankly, I'll raise my hand. I don't come at this as somebody who has it perfectly figured out. My family would probably say I look at my smartphone too much. So this is for me as much as anybody in your listening audience. But, you know, asking ourselves, why do we feel compelled to look at these small screens so much? And then carving out spaces where we put that, you know, put those screens down. Maybe it's right after we get home from work. Maybe it's dinner time. And then if we're going to watch a show together, we say, we're going to watch the show together. We're not going to multitask on three screens simultaneously. And then we're going to talk about it. So, again, it's I think it's about intentionality. It's about engagement. It's about setting clear boundaries that our children understand not only what the boundaries are, but why we have them. I think that the why is so important these days because obviously we're living in this totally wired, connected world where the expectation is you're on these screens all the time. And so to do something different is going to take a deliberate decision on behalf of parents. And then we model that and begin to carve out something that looks different. And maybe we even just turn the TV off and don't do screens at all sometimes. We're going to have a game night. We're going to have, you know, a family devotional time. You know, there are tons of different options for what you can do together. My family likes to do crafts together. You know, we'll have a drawing contest, something like that. So I think, again, the intentionality, engagement, and boundaries are the three sort of core principles here.
Friends, my conversation with Adam Holtz from Plugged In is going to continue right after this quick break. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, and we'll be right back.
Whatever you do, just don't look back.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm continuing my conversation with Adam Holtz from Plugged In. Recommend you check out Plugged In for not just good information about what you and your family ought to see, but also information about how you can make and help your kids make wise choices in relationship to all kinds of media consumption. And so, Adam, let's turn to streaming options that are out there. I know that you guys have some recommendations for February on Plugged In for folks who want to watch, you know, stuff that's streaming on Netflix, stuff that's streaming on Hulu. Why don't you just, you know, share some of that with us so folks can get a sense of, you know, there is some stuff out there on Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu that they can confidently watch.
Yeah. You know, each month we try to give people a sense of what's coming out because the stuff that's available shifts every month, both in terms of original content on Netflix or Amazon and on, you know, older movies that are just coming to those platforms for the first time. So 2018 saw another version of Little Women, and that will be streaming on Amazon Prime. And there was another Christian movie that came out. Actually, Little Women wasn't a Christian movie, but I sort of think of it in that category. A Christian movie that came out in 2015 called Old Fashioned, and it was intentionally released as counter-programming to when 50 Shades of Grey came out. And this is really about a romance and what does it take to have an old-fashioned courtship. Of all the movies that I've seen and Christian movies in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years or so, this is one that I really liked. I really liked what they tried to do in terms of showing the challenges of relating in a different way than our culture says we should when it comes to romance. So that is another one that is worth checking out. And 2014, there was a Christian movie called The Song that came out, and it is about, you know, how a famous song affects a dad and his family, and his family really trying to deal with that. And a couple that wouldn't really be kids' movies, but might be ones that if you've got older teens that you could enjoy. One of those is The Soloist, which is about a homeless sort of musical savant in Los Angeles and his story. So definitely check out a review of that one first. It's PG-13. It's got a little bit of content, but some really great redemptive messages. And sort of in the same category as The Time Traveler's Wife, and we go back to 2009 for that, and it's streaming on Hulu. And it's sort of it's hard to encapsulate really quickly, but it's about somebody whose mom, he was 6 years old the night his mom died, and he should have died too, but he didn't. And it sort of unpacks this crazy story about how he can travel through time. So those would be some of our recommendations for things to definitely consider and check out for the month of February.
Okay, friends, and again, you're going to check it out at PluggedIn.com. Did you watch the Super Bowl? And if so, can you comment on the commercials?
You know, I did watch the Super Bowl, and the thing that stood out to me was everybody decided simultaneously to do robots in their commercials this year. And
I'm so glad you brought that up because we found it kind of freaky.
It was a little weird. actually it was a lot weird, and the commercials were weird, and it was weird that everybody had the same idea simultaneously. I'm sure that people in ad agencies across America were like facepalming. It's like, holy cow, another commercial with robots in it. And but I think it's indicative of where we're at culturally, and the Super Bowl commercials are always a bellwether, and so we're grappling with technology, we're grappling with artificial intelligence, and you know, using that humorously in these commercials. But overall, I found it slightly creepy.
I did too. So I would, going forward, I'd love to have conversations with you about AI and virtual reality, and how technology, particularly, you know, technology that comes through our eyes and ears, is really changing the way that we perceive reality itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to have that conversation because I feel like we're headed into, I know I've read a little bit about sort of deep fakes and what we can expect in terms of, you know, folks who are producing video content that's actually not real but presents itself as true. And so I just feel like, Adam, we're right, you know, as parents and as Christians in the culture, who we're all media consumers as well, but we can't keep up. And
right.
So, you know, if you just want to start that conversation today, but that's a conversation I would love to return to on a future occasion as well.
Yeah, you know, the technology and entertainment intersection is always an interesting one because as the technology advances, it creates new avenues for creators of content, you know, to think about, well, we can engage people this way. We can engage people this way. And as it becomes more immersive, whether through, you know, virtual reality stuff or, you know, even wearing things so that you feel things while you're watching something to try to make it a more immersive experience, it creates questions that we have to grapple with. And, you know, I don't know that virtual reality, for example, is necessarily a... It's not whether it's moral or immoral, but it's about how does that technology invite us into an experience that forces us to evaluate, you know, what we're seeing in new ways because it is so immersive. And so I think that the technology questions that we have to grapple with as Christians are just going to get more and more complex. And as AI and robotics and some of these other things that you were talking about sort of come increasingly online, it starts to feel a little bit like a science fiction movie, and discernment continues to be more important than it's ever been before.
Again, friends, my conversation partner is Adam Holtz from Plugged In. Adam, let's turn. Can we do 1 minute on music? What's out there in the music world that we need to be aware of?
You know, I have been a huge fan of the band Switchfoot for a number of years now. They've been around almost 20 years in the pop culture eye, and their latest album is called Native Tongue, and it's a plea in some ways for respect for civility and recognizing that even people we disagree with, we've got to do that in love. So with so much shrill stuff out there these days, I think that message is one that we could really take to heart, and John and Tim Foreman and their band are just great to listen to. So that is one that I would definitely point people toward.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us today on Mornings with Carmen. People you who are listening right now can check out what you guys are doing at PluggedIn.com. Friends, I'll be right back after a quick break here on Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you consider yourself a Christian? Okay, so that's gonna be the question we're going to start with. Do you consider yourself a Christian? What would the practices related to that necessarily be? Is it necessary for those who consider themselves to be Christians to be a part of a local church? To worship with other Christians, to engage in the study of Scripture, to glorify God through not only personal and private prayer, but through cultivating relationships with other Christians, that together we might be an iron sharpening iron, you know, crowd and crew, and holding one another accountable. What would the signs of, I don't know, I'm going to use the word holiness here, like, what would be the evidences that we are growing, not only in our faith in Jesus Christ, but in the outward living of that faith? So those would be the questions that I think are particularly provocative when we turn to current research related to young millennials ages 23 to 30, who attended church as a teenager, but increasingly not only do not attend church, but believe, you know, maybe in God, but not necessarily in Christianity, and certainly not in seeing the church as an essential part of that. So I'm going to have a conversation up next with Scott McConnell from Lifeway Research about those who are young millennials who consider themselves Christian and those who do not. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, and I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge.
When it comes to speaking less and listening more, sometimes parents need a little practice. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Here's a simple exercise you might try at home today. When the family is sitting down to dinner together, ask this question: what's most important to you? The ground rules are simple. Everyone must answer, and dessert isn't served until each person gives at least five important things. If you need to motivate your kids, offer a reward for answering thoughtfully. It's well worth the investment to hear what's on their heart. Now, Mom and Dad, here's the deal. When they answer, listen. Don't correct their response or steer their words. Don't judge their comments. I guarantee you'll hear something brand new. Ask the question, then listen.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge, and I am joined now by Scott McConnell from Lifeway Research, and he and I are going to seek to answer the question, when young adults say they consider themselves Christians, but they don't actually practice, what does that mean? So, Scott, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. Great to be with you.
So, I love what you guys are doing over at Lifeway Research, because I really feel like you guys are answering the questions that people in the church are actually asking, and then helping to equip the church to not necessarily modify our messaging, but sometimes modify our methodology in terms of emerging generations, their expectations of church, and how we might re-engage those who are no longer engaged in the life of the church. So when you think of this current research, and again, friends, if you go to lifewayresearch.com, you can check out what we're talking about. The article is Young Adults Keep Christian, keep the Christian label, but shed many of the practices. And if you scroll down in the article, you can actually click on the research itself. Tell us what you learned in this most recent survey of young adults.
Well, we know that young adults, as they leave high school, they've got a lot of choices ahead of them, and there's a lot of changes going on in their lives. And so, you know, one of those is you know, physically moving. Oftentimes, they're either moving away to college, or as they get a job, they're moving across town. You know, those two changes themselves often mean that they're disconnecting from a church that they grew up in, and you know, among those who drop out of church and stop attending, we see that 7 out of 10 actually weren't planning on dropping out. And so it was really an unexpected change, something they didn't plan for. And, you know, I think those of us in church need to be helping young adults prepare for the time when they are on their own. You know, how do you find a church? How do you, you know, be intentional about making sure your spiritual life is a priority as suddenly, you know, work has to become a priority, or you know, a higher level of schooling becomes a priority? You know, how do you keep your relationship with God a priority in your life?
And if we use participation in not only worship, but if we use things like church service projects or small groups or mission trips, did you find a correlation between those who were actively engaged in what we might consider, you know, sort of practices of the church? Did you find a correlation between those who continue to consistently participate in the life of the church versus those who, you know, as they reach that young adult stage of life, drop out?
You know, those who stay in church are those that really want the church to be helping shape decisions in their life. They really value the church's role in their relationship with God. And, you know, honestly, in our culture today, those within the church and those outside are many people are doubting the church's role. A lot of people, and we hear this from the young adults in this study, you know, still have a faith in God, but the practicing of it through church is something that kind of falls on the back burner, and they're kind of taking a smaller dose of it in their life. And I think, you know, as we look at, you know, Jesus's heart for the church as he prayed for it in John 17, he wanted us to be one. He wanted us to be meeting together as a church so that the world would see that God sent Jesus to earth. And that expression of us meeting together and being a local body of believers is something that really sends a great message to our community today, especially in America where community is really hard to find. And I think it's something that many young people didn't experience themselves in church in high school. And so when they never connected with peers or they never connected with adults in the church, then when it becomes their choice of whether to attend church, it really is kind of a monumental decision to actually go to the effort of trying to connect in a church because they haven't had that experience.
So one of the things, Scott, that sort of jumped out at me was that word connect or connection that you just used. And as I read through this perception section, like, right, what are people's perceptions of the church and church members and the perception of the role of the church even? I think that the conversation about people actually making individual connections, I think we often in the church offer programs and we invite people to attend programs, but that's not actually necessarily connecting individuals with other individuals who are going to actively disciple them, who are going to be there to speak into their life, who are going to hold them accountable, who, you know, the one-on-one nature of discipleship, it seems to me, although that's not really what this research is about, this research does, I think, sort of pull back the curtain on the reality that churches offer a lot of programs, but we're not necessarily connecting on an individual level, older disciple to younger disciple, and helping them cultivate those practices that as Christians, ultimately, we really can't live without. We cannot live a Lone Ranger version of this faith. That just is not, there's no there. So can you talk with us about what you found in relationship to that connection issue?
You know, connections can come in a lot of forms. And so, one of the things we did, this actually was a repeat research project. We had done a similar project a decade before. And one of the new sections we added was about student ministry itself. And so there are, you know, that's one of the important connections is trying to help a young person connect with peers. And sometimes that's hard if there's not people with similar interests attending that same church. You know, some churches are doing good just to have a handful of people the exact same age, just because of the size of the church and the age people are. So trying to find folks they connect with. But one of the other connections that matters statistically is having just a youth leader that cares, whether that's a volunteer or a staff member, when they know that youth leader cares about them, then they're much more likely to stay in church. We also see that if adults are connecting with them and investing in their lives personally and spiritually, in fact, if they can name three adults who invested in their life, then they're three times more likely to stay in church as they get into to those young adult years. And so those connections are so vital. And sometimes, you know, we look around those sitting near us in church and we see young people and you know, we know there's a gap, there's an age gap, there's a culture gap between middle-aged adults like myself and them, and yet just reaching out, asking them about what's going on in their lives and investing in them really shows that they're valued, and they begin to get the message that they are a valued part of that community. But another part is asking them to serve. When they begin to see that their spiritual gifts actually matter, as a teenager, they begin to see that church isn't for others. Church isn't for adults. They actually get a glimpse of what the church really is, and it's a body with each of us contributing to it. And so it's more likely when they're serving that they begin to see that the church is actually important and relevant in their lives. And when those things are in place, those are the things that we see, the descriptions of those kinds of descriptions of the church being important, the church being relevant, are twice as high among those who stay in church compared to those who don't.
The other thing that jumped out at me, Scott, in this research is that among those who consider themselves a Christian and know the age when they became a Christian, the median age is 10. I think that when we talk about student ministry, we're going to have to increasingly be talking about student ministry for, early elementary age kids. So we're going to have to leave it right there. Scott McConnell from Lifeway Research, thank you for what you do every single day. Friends, you can check out what we talked about today at lifewayresearch.com. It's the lead article on their website. And it's about young adults who are keeping the Christian label but shedding many of the practices. It's good information for you to lift up in conversation with your local congregation about what you're doing right now and how you might engage students who are currently on your church campus in order that, 10 years from now, when Scott does this research again, the answers might be different. Friends, you are listening to Mornings with Carmen, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. We are rounding out our first week of programming together. I would love to hear your feedback. You can text me at 877-933-2484. You can always email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Carmen LaBurge. I'm on Facebook, Reconnect with Carmen. I mean, really, right? You can find me if you want to. And if you want to communicate with me, I'd love your feedback on this first week of Mornings with Carmen. I'd love to know that you're praying for us and with us as we seek to bring the mind of Christ to bear on the issues that each and every one of us confront in the real world. And so, in this final segment this week, I'm gonna highlight a few things that have been on my heart and mind that we didn't get a chance to talk about this week. So in reflecting upon the conversation that we just had with Scott McConnell, when he says, that young people who can identify by name three adults who invested in them when they were young people. And let's say here we're talking about, probably junior high and high school. Elementary, if you're focused on that crowd, that's really actually where the impact is essential today, because most people who become Christians now become Christians at a much younger age than we have historically imagined. And so it's not to say that we can't reach them once they are young adults, but it's increasingly difficult. And so let's talk about being the three. So I want you to think right now about children who are in your sphere of influence. They might be the kids in the backseat of your car. They might be the kids you dropped off at school this morning. They might be the kids with whom you are going to spend this weekend. They might be the kids next door. They might be the kids who populate the pew two rows behind you on Sunday morning. And they don't know your name, but they do know that furrowed brow scowl that sometimes they get with the one wicked evil eye when they're back there crinkling paper or whatever they're doing, because, they're kids. So I want you to think about kids who are in your sphere of influence. And I want you to ask yourself, when they're a young adult and they are asked in a Lifeway research survey about their perceptions of people at church or their perceptions of Christians, are you going to be one of the three people that God brings to mind? And if so, what are their impressions going to be? So 10 years from now, kids who are currently 10 are going to be in this survey pool. Well, let's see. I think the 13-year-olds will be in the survey pool by then. So because what they did was they surveyed them about their experiences when they were 18 to 22, and then as 23 to 30-year-olds, what are their actual practices? And so, you know, we're talking here about kids who are now middle school, certainly in high school. And when they're asked these questions later on, who are their three going to be? Who are the three adults who they're going to be able to point to as having influenced them when they were young in terms of their walk of faith, in terms of their commitment, not only to Christ, but their commitment to the practices that we would recognize as Christian? The practices that we would recognize as Christian, including active participation and connection in the life of a local congregation, which we call, you know, the church. I want to be one of the three. Like I have like kids in mind right now, including the ones obviously that live in my own house. But by extension, they're friends and kids who live down and kids who are in my local church. I want them to, not in a prideful way. I don't want to be one of their three in a prideful way. I want to be one of their three in that they could actually be able to say, hey, you know what? There was a person who I knew loved me, and I knew she loved Jesus, and I understood through her love that God loves me. Like, right? That's what we're trying to do. Like, we're trying to bear authentic witness to the reality of God's love for people. And so how could we be the three? My three, by the way, well, three of mine. I won't say my three because that's going to like exclude people and they're going to get their feelings hurt and I don't want to do it. Three of mine are Kathy Connor, who was my Young Life leader in high school, Coach Fife, who was my softball coach in high school, and Robert Morris, who was the Young Life area director who mentored me when I was in college at the University of Florida. And if I were going to point to three adults who invested in me when I was a young person, outside of my parents, who obviously invested more in me in more ways than I could chronicle or count. But if I were going to name the first three people who came to mind when Scott McConnell said, hey, the three adults who invested in the lives of these young people who are not only still call themselves Christians, but actually participate in the life of the church in recognizable ways that we would call Christian practices. When he said that, these are the three people God brought to mind: Kathy Connor, Coach Fife, and Robert Morris. Who are your three? Who influenced your life when you were a young person? How did they influence your life for Christ? What are the ways that they demonstrated to you the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that got you connected with the church? I'd love to hear about that. You can text me at 877-933-2484 or email me carmen@myfaithradio.com. I got to take a quick break and then we'll wrap it up. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Our first week is now behind us. Thank you to my friend in the 763 area code who has texted in, affirming that we've had a great first week. I like the all caps. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show with somebody else. You can grab the podcast at myfaithradio.com and you can share today's show with someone else. You could actually go back and do that for any day this week, and you could invite people into this listening community. That would be fun, and then it would give us something to talk about as our listening community grows and people give us more feedback and we know what people want to be talking about. That's really what we're looking for. So text me your comments and ideas at 877-933-2484. Email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com, or on Twitter at Carmen LaBurge. I'd love to hear from you over the weekend as we look toward next week on Mornings with Carmen. Hey, friends, I'm going to be praying for you. Be sure you are praying for me as well. Have a great day, a great weekend, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at MyFaithRadio.com.